Hey, this is Kat Lee from howtheyblog.com, and welcome to the How They Blog podcast. Today we are chatting with Stacy Thacker, and she is the author of a couple of books and more blogs than I can really remember. So I think she's going to have some great wisdom for you on balancing stuff. On if those of you that write or manage multiple author blogs, she works with a couple of those, and so I'm excited to get her thoughts and input on that today. So, welcome, Stacy.
Thanks, Kat, for having me. I am super excited to be here and chat blogging with you. How fun is this?
It's super fun. I think, the whole How They Blog format is so fun for me because it's really just something that I would want to do for me anyway, because I'm nosy about how other people do stuff. But I get to do it and then share it with everybody. So it's so fun. I get to chat with my friends and talk blogging, and then I get to share it with everybody. So I hope all of you guys listening really get a lot from this and have fun with it as well. So, Stacey, I want you to tell us first, just give us some framework, tell us where you are online, and then tell us a little bit of your blogging story.
Okay. Well, my main home base is my personal blog, which is called 29LincolnAvenue.com. That is a crazy name that actually is the address of a house I grew up in when I was a little girl in southern Indiana. And excuse me. So, transition. That is my personal blog. I have been online for about, goodness, I think it's been 4 years. My crazy background blogging story is that I had finished up a couple of years ago a small women's group that I had led for about 3 years, and I came off of that just kind of needing a break. And my husband kept telling me that I needed to start blogging, and I just was like, whatever, what are you talking about? Because my experience at that point with blogging was that it was a place where you would share family photos and that sort of thing, and that just wasn't something I was really interested in. And so I kind of thought about it for a while and then had gotten online about that time because we had shut off cable and I was super bored. And so I had went looking for decorating information because I missed HGTV and all those fun shows. And I stumbled upon the Nestor's blog and I just fell in love with her wittiness and her style and just loved her the way she shared. Jumped from there over to her sister Emily's blog at Chatting at the Sky, and then the word girl in me was like, wow, this is amazing. I just had no idea that people did that, like that they just shared their lives and wrote about it online. I just thought it was amazing. Also found Sarah Mae like a warm cup of coffee. I think it was her blog before. And so I just kind of watched them. I'm serious. I blog stalked for like a year. And I thought, wow, maybe I could do this. And I prayed and I prayed and I prayed for a long time. And finally, my husband and I went on a date to see Julie and Julia, the amazing movie with Meryl Streep. And I came home that night and started my blog. It was just like the little push that I could totally do this and they could make a movie about me. Wouldn't be nearly as good because I'm not cooking or anything. But anyway, it just showed me. I don't know. It was just kind of the little nudge I needed. So I started blogging right before my fourth daughter was born. So that was kind of,
Wow.
it was crazy. But you know what? It was an outlet for me. And in the beginning, it was just kind of, just kind of started very slowly and just started experimenting, trying on some different hats and where I fit in the blogging world. But because I'd prayed about it for so long, I had a specific vision that I was looking for. And so have pretty much stayed within that. From that personal blog, I've also had the opportunity to work on some contributors' blogs. I started with three other moms, a site for mothers of daughters, and it was originally called Mod Squad. But this summer, we changed it to mothersofdaughters.com. And so that's just a place for moms raising girls to gather. It's gone through a change this summer. And right now, we're just focusing on raising girls with timeless truth. Moms with vintage values, raising girls with timeless truth is kind of our vision. We publish once a month in a newsletter form. We have 10 or 12 writers that publish all at the same time. So a mom can open it on her iPad tab and leave it open the whole month and read as she has a chance. So that's one of my other blogs that I'm involved with behind the scenes. And then there's another blog that has grown out of a book that I co-wrote with Brooke McLaughlin called hopeforthewearymom.com. And it is more devotional in nature. We only publish Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. We have a great team of writers. We've started in May, and I think I've written twice. So I just get to read and enjoy the words of these great moms who just have a heart to encourage moms who are caught in that place in their life where they just need someone to understand and love on them and point them to Jesus. So those are really the blog's main places you can find me.
So what do you do with all your free time then? Do you just sit around and eat bonbon? I mean, how do you manage all that? I don't know if my brain could handle that many different things. So I want to know, what's your planning system? Like, how do you plan the direction of all these different sites? How do you manage all of the people and the writers and all of that stuff? Just give me some, some general thoughts. And then I'd love to know some of the tools that you use to manage all that.
Well, it would be a really great idea for me to have a really good plan. That all happens. But let me start with like basically where I am. So when I think through, like when I think about something I want to blog about or write about, I generally think in terms of my personal blog. That's kind of where my creative juices flow. So my personal blog, I usually tell friends, followers, people who read there that I'm going to be there 3 to 4 times a week. Sometimes I'm there 5 times a week. Sometimes I'm there 2 times a week. There's times that I'll rarely a time I would miss a whole week. But that is just kind of my own space that I show up more frequently in. Mothers and Daughters, when it started, there were 4 of us that were leading it, and just slowly life and transition and different things, that changed. And so when I took it over this summer alone, I still have a great team of writers, but the management of the blog has really been, since this summer, just fallen on me. The big change there was to go to that publishing once a month, because I felt like the maintaining those writers on a weekly basis was a challenge. So mm-hmm. I had to create an event that felt so that moms could go, oh, Mothers and Daughters published today. So we wanted to create an event. That has helped streamline it somewhat to have it all published in one day. It also means that like a weekend, like this weekend, I have a ton of work to do mm-hmm. because go through and we have a strong visual sense of how we want that site to go. And so I can be very picky with images that show up. And so I have to kind of touch everything right now. That's kind of a learning curve. And so that seems to be working well. I love the energy that's happening and how moms are receiving it. And the writers are just amazing. All seasons of walks of life of moms. And so that, most of those women have been with Mothers and Daughters from the beginning. And so they just do their thing. They write beautifully. They post it. With this new format, I have to kind of be more of an editor than I would like to be. The dream in the future would be to be able to have someone who could do that back end stuff for me so I could just enjoy it as well. But that's on down the road. And Hope, that again, I share that responsibility with someone else. And so that doesn't all fall to me. And again, the women who just show up are just, they're just super responsible. So I think that's a key.
If you're getting responsible writers.
Yes, people that show up, that hit their deadlines, that write quality stuff, that you invite people that you trust, that you're not constantly having to police. I trust these women implicitly. I'm not worried that they're going to do something or say something that's off so I think that's huge. You just have to bring people in that you trust. I think also you do have to know when it's too much. I've said no to some opportunities. I had an amazing opportunity to work with Encourage over the past year, helping them start some online communities. And I love Encourage. But I had to step away because it was just too much. And that was a hard call to make because I love them and I love their mission. But I knew that I was juggling too much. And so sometimes, you have to say no and you have to walk away, even when it's people that you dearly love. So,
yeah, I think that actually is from the articles that I've read or the interviews that I've read from people on how they blog, knowing when to say no and being brave enough to say no, even to things that you want to say yes to, I think that is when your blogging can really take on a passion of its own, you know, and when it can really come to life because you're focused on things that you know, hey, these are the core things that I want to do. And I know it well enough that I'm willing to say no to this.
I think too, one of the things that I've realized from the beginning, you know, there's scripture, I think it's in Proverbs 31, where it talks about how she considered the field before she bought it. And I've really tried to take that to heart in my writing and blogging and to really pray through and consider something before I say yes. There have been things that I did not consider the field and I bought very quickly. And those are the ones that are probably the weightier of things that I handle. All good things, all great things. But the things that I've really prayed through and considered deeply and really sought the Lord's will on, I have found to be less of a weight to carry, if mm-hmm. that makes sense. Totally. So I keep going back to that. The things that I've been trigger happy with and, yes, I want to do that, you know, kind of thing. I went, oh, you know, I should have considered that field, you know. So that's just been something that I've learned the hard way. And I, you know, honestly, I don't know that I'm crystal point clear focused on where I need to be yet. And that may, it may change in the next 6 months. I don't know, but I'm open to, you know, I'm trying to hold things loose handedly. Let's put it that way.
Yeah. Yeah. That's really good. And cause you, I mean, you're, you have a lot happening, you have a lot going on. And so you need to be, you have four kids.
Yeah.
Four girls.
Yeah.
There's no drama or anything in your house, I'm sure.
There is none. I'm going to tell you a big fat lie and say there is none.
And then you have all these blogs that you manage and you've written two ebooks.
Yeah.
So you have a lot going on and you need to be decisive about what you do and you don't do. So I'm curious if on any of your blogs, I've recently discovered the WordPress calendar
mm-hmm.
plugin and then also another one that I just learned about called EditFlow. Have you heard of that one?
No, tell me more. That sounds exciting.
It's actually super cool. I just discovered it and I just installed it and uninstalled the WordPress calendar one because it allows you to have custom statuses. So you can have it say like pitch or assigned to someone or in progress or whatever. And I think you can rename them. I haven't tried it yet. Mm-hmm. And then you can also have editorial comments on posts. So you can chat about a post that's not live yet and those posts are only going to be in the dashboard so you can talk with your writers if you have questions about it and you can make notes about the post if you want to. It's not, I haven't fully, you know, I just installed it the other day, but I just really really like that I can have notes about my post without worrying about accidentally publishing them.
Yeah, that I've done that before. That's fun. Yeah. Accidentally publishing. I've not heard of that. That's neat. You know, I have used the editorial calendar before. I'm not currently using it. I'm not using anything right now. I would love to see that. That sounds really good.
Yeah.
Smart. Yeah. Smart.
It just helps me. I think I'm a visual person, so it really helps me to visualize what the calendar is going to look like with stuff.
Well, I think it helps your writers too, especially if, you know, somebody's publishing on the second Tuesday and someone's the third Thursday and, you know, it helps them to see it. And it also to be able to say, hey, this is great. Could you add an image or however you want to do that? I think that would be awesome.
Yeah.
I'll check that out. Thanks for that tip, Kat.
No problem. Hey, so all you guys listening, I have a new puppy and my new puppy just woke up. And so what I'm doing right now is I'm going to podcast from outside. Because my new puppy is not housebroken yet and I am not particularly wanting to find any special presents in my house. So, if you hear some wind, birds or barking, that's what this is. If you hear any noises as we move outside, that's what's happening. So
I think that should be a regular feature on How They Blog. I think you should take the puppy out every time.
The potty break blog?
You could have the blog, How They Blog with the puppy. I think it's exciting. I think it adds that element of surprise.
He could be like the little mascot.
Exactly.
So how do you blog? I mean, you have four girls. How do you find time to blog?
You know, people ask me this, and you know, for me, I think it's such a creative outlet. It's so good for me to be able to create something that's not undone by somebody else, that it's almost like therapy for me. So please know that when I'm writing and creating, it's the only thing that I do that doesn't get undone. You know, if I clean the house within a minute or two, it's going to be dirty again. So it's therapy. Yes. So when I blog, that's always a question. I am an early riser. So I get up around 6 every morning and have my quiet time and my Bible time, my prayer time. And I will do a little bit of writing, social media kind of stuff in the morning, depending on how many cups of coffee I have in me before my girls get up. And sometimes my best posts are not edited well because I'm tired. It's in the morning. So I do a little bit then. We do school generally from about 9-ish to noon-ish. My oldest daughter works throughout the day, but she self-teaches mostly. So I'm doing 5th and 2nd grade hardcore before lunch. And then after lunch, they generally can work on things on their own. And that's their free time. And so I will in the afternoon usually have some time, usually try to exercise in the afternoon. And then we'll do like folding laundry always or some kind of chore. And then I'll have some time in the afternoon before we have to run out to ballet or to church or whatever in the afternoon. So those are my peak blogging times, my writing times. I will also sometimes at night write a little, but I am not sharp at night. So it's not wise for me to be writing anything. You know, I might be snarky on Twitter, but you know, I can't write. I'm too tired. And then on the weekends, sometimes on Saturdays, I'll block out some time. It's been a long time since I've had a Panera date where I've just gone and sat at Panera and written for like 3 hours. I really need to have one of those.
Those are amazing. I love
those. Those are so fun. I just love that. It's been a long time. That's good. That's good. That's good writing time. Sometimes on Sundays afternoons, I'll sit and write. But you know, I just grab it here and there. It just depends what I'm writing about and how much time I need.
I think it was Stephen King that says, amateurs wait for inspiration and professionals just do the work.
Yeah.
And I think that is key when trying to blog, when you have kids or puppies or whatever, just, you know, make you have, if you have to podcast from your back porch with your neighbors wondering what in the world you're possibly doing.
Yeah. It works.
Just making it happen.
Yeah.
Doing the work.
I think that's greatness happening right there. Mm-hmm. It's just, you know, we're going to do it. And that's what I love about the blogging community is you just do it. You know, there's no one formula. You know, some people want to sit down and write all their posts on Sunday afternoon. That's fine. I like to be a little bit spontaneous. And sometimes I'll think, oh, I want to write about that. And I'll write about it. And sometimes I'll be more purposeful and well thought out and do a series. That's always scary because then you're committed. But, you know, and for me, I'm kind of a shoot from the hip kind of girl. Like, I'm just like, hey, let's do that kind of thing. So it works for me.
Well, and I think, you know, like what you're talking about with the Mothers of Daughters blog, how you made that a magazine style where it publishes once a month, and just finding that thing that works for you, whether it's something new and different, but being willing to try it so that it's not something that you have to give up because you just don't have time for it or you're just not sure how it's going to work. But keep tweaking things and keep trying new things so that you can make it happen.
Yeah, I think you have to think about your audience too. I think that works for moms because there's so much they can access online. We just decided we're going to visit their mailbox twice a month. You know, hey, we posted. Hey, here's a newsletter. That's all we do through Mothers and Daughters. But they have so much rich content they can access. You know, the second Tuesday of the month, it's all new, but it's on their schedule. And you know, that I don't even know where that idea came from. That was just an inspiration from the heavens. I just know the Lord just said, hey, how about this? And I, you know, I'm hoping that it continues to grow and does well. And, you know, but it's new. I mean, this is only like about our 3rd or 4th month to get into it. But you know, it seems to be going well. So yeah, try new things. Mm-hmm. Why not?
Well, we are winding down on our time today, but I wanted to ask you, one more question. What is something that you wish you had known or wish you had done when you'd started blogging?
One thing I wished I would have known. That's a good question.
Did I stump you?
No, I mean, there's so many things. I think I kind of alluded to that in the whole consider the field. Just think of things that, just knowing who you are, you know, the whole thing. I mean, we talk about this a lot, about not trying to be someone you're not. I think I really wished I would have trusted my own voice, maybe, and not tried to write like Emily Freeman, because she's awesome. But I don't write like Emily, you know, or Anne Boskamp or any of those people that are very iconic in their tone. And, you know, I think I really came into this this summer. I, you know, had been working on my new ebook, which is called Being Okay With Where You Are. And I finally just got really comfortable with how I say things. And, you know, one of the things that really encouraged me is I was reading a book by Angie Smith called What Women Fear. And for a long time, I would read books and I would say, wow, that doesn't sound like something I could write. And then I read that book and I thought, this sounds like something I could say. Mm. Like, it sounds like it's very, I think I'm a very conversational writer. You know, I think I wade in and out of deep thoughts. I don't claim to be super deep or super, you know, intense at all in my writing style. But I think this summer, through writing this ebook, I finally felt really comfortable with how I say things. And for people to say, wow, it feels like you're talking to me, or it feels like a conversation I once had with you, there's a huge sigh of relief for me that I think I finally have found who I am and how I say it, and I'm not trying so desperately to sound like somebody else. So I think for a new blogger, I would say, you know, that takes time. I mean, this is my fourth year in blogging. And I tried to be a decorating blog, and I tried to be this and that, but I'm finally really comfortable in my own bloggy skin, if that makes any sense, to be who I am.
Totally makes sense. And I wonder if, having written two books, if that, you know, you wrote, what did you say? Hope for the Weary Mom ended up being 30,000 words.
Yeah, and that's about all I have. My new book, just under 30,000. I don't know that I can read even a longer book anyway. So it seems to be where I cap off and I lose words. So
I don't think I know that many words.
I don't know. You know, it's funny, this last book that I wrote, I'll just finish with this. I know we got to run, but I was having trouble writing it, and because I'm such a blogger, I love to write to someone. And so I thought this summer, I thought, I'm just going to put it up on Mondays. I'm going to write a chapter and put a snippet of the chapter up on Mondays. And so I told people I was going to do it, and they're like, "Whoa, yes, let's do it." And then I had to do it, like the accountability thing. And so I had written three chapters when I started, so I was super confident. And then by the time I got to the fourth chapter, I was like, "Oh, snap. I got to write a chapter this weekend," you know, but it was so good for me because I just did it. And then by the time I got to the 10th chapter, I was like, "Oh Lord, what am I going to say? Because I don't have anything left." But he was so gracious, and you know, it got better as it went on. So, my lesson there is, you know, you just show up and you commit and you let something hold you accountable. Like, people coming by on Monday to read something that you haven't written yet, and it's Friday. You know, it's super motivating to do it. And that's how you can write a book in a summer. So,
and how you can manage that many blogs.
And manage that many blogs. Yes, yes. You just have some accountability in your life. It's fine.
Awesome. Well, Stacey, I have very much enjoyed chatting with you, and I'm sure everybody listening has as well. And I'd love if you would remind us of where you are online, how to find you.
How you find me. My personal blog is 29LincolnAvenue.com. That's where you'll probably see the most of me. I post everything from stories and what I wore Wednesday when I'm really, really committed, to just lighthearted stuff and deep stuff as well. It's a place to grow and to connect and talk about life together. And then I have mothersofdaughters.com, that monthly e-zine that publishes the second Tuesday of every month. And we also send out a newsletter just as a little highlight. And then hopefortheweary.com is a place, a devotional site for moms stuck in the weariness and who need a bit of encouragement from moms of all walks of life. I'm also on Facebook on all those three things, 29 Lincoln Avenue, Mothers of Daughters. I believe Mothers of Daughters is Mod Squad on Facebook. And Hope for the Weary Mom is Hope for the Weary Mom on Facebook as well.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, thanks for joining us, Stacey. And for everybody listening, we will catch you next time on the next episode of the How They Blog podcast. This is Kat Lee, and we'll see you later.
Thanks, Kat.
Thanks, Stacey. Bye.
Bye.